When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between Lisa and West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is expertly crafted from natural latex, natural wool, and certified safe foams to elevate your sleep sanctuary and support a greener tomorrow. Plus, every purchase helps fuel Lisa's work with shelters and those in need. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Lisa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit lisa.com/iHeart. That's LEESA.com/iHeart.
This is In the Locker Room with Wolf and Starks on ESPN Pittsburgh and Steelers Nation Radio, presented by your neighborhood Ford store. The F-150 is the official truck of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Out the gates.
Breaking news from the SNR Breaking News Desk and the Department of Redundancy Department. I am Wesley Euler. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Max Starks' 41st birthday today.
Let's hit it, baby.
Craig Wolfley, hit it.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Maximilian!
Happy birthday to you! Could you get a worse duo than that one?
Oh my God, that was tremendous. Thank you guys so much. I really appreciate it. That was awesome.
Here. It is your birthday, right? We got it right, right?
Yeah, correct. Okay. You did. It is on this day.
I had to like triple check that this morning, Max. I was like, we better get this right. We better not mess this up.
Kudos to Missy Matthews who made sure that we knew, right?
Oh, okay, man. So awesome. Thanks, Missy. Yeah. No, you know what's funny? My mom texted me yesterday for my birthday. I was like, mom. And then after that, I know that I realized that my mom texted like the rest of my family. So I literally got like all these. I was like, I love all of you, but my birthday is tomorrow. I was like, stop making me older than I am. I was like, mom. And mom's like, oh, I was just getting on top of it ahead of time. You know, if I get busy, I was like, mom, really? You're gonna get busy on my birthday and forget to text me on my birthday? I was like, God bless mothers. I love my mom.
Yes, exactly. So moms fantastic. Are just the best.
Hey, real quick too as well, Max. It is also my wife's birthday today. So
really?
I mean,
happy birthday.
Yes, my wife Morgan is 32 today. So I tell you what, I mean, January 10th, that's a pretty good day.
That
yeah,
is
the
a
best
good day
ever.
All right. Well, we better sing Miss Morgan happy birthday too, you know, on account
that
of
is true.
We don't want
yeah.
her to feel left out. So boys, let's strike it up. 1, 2, 3.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Morgan. Happy birthday to you.
There we
go. Oh, man. Did we kill that one or what?
Yeah, hey, listen, killed it in a good way.
Everybody just tuned out.
Yeah, exactly. They're like, what is going on? Well, I think that was a little injection of life for everybody because this is the greatest day of the year. You know, not to toot my own horn, but, you know.
Right.
I feel like, you know, God made the month of January, and then after that, you know, he tried 11 other times to make it just as good, you know?
What we know, though, is you weren't an in-season baby, all right? We know that now, yeah, right?
Yes.
You know, there's problems with in-season babies. You know what I mean? Now, I don't know, did you have any kids? You didn't have any kids when you were playing, did you?
Oh, I did. Waverly.
Okay. All right.
Waverly, she was my oldest.
All right. So was she
was born
in season?
After we beat RG3 and the Washington then Redskins at home. Yeah.
Beautiful.
After,
all right.
After.
So what was your birthing experience like? Because I had
yeah.
It was a couple in there.
It was bad. It was bad. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah.
I fell asleep. I fell asleep on the couch in her room. In the room, like, where Tiffany is, like, you know, in labor, like, laboring.
Right, right.
And I'm, like, snoring on the couch. and then they woke me up for the birth process. So, yeah, it was bad.
You know, it is one of those things. I was, like, panic-stricken in my first couple. But then, you know, I've had six kids, so it's like, you know, you kind of, you get in a groove, you know.
You got a rhythm. You got a rhythm there, bud. You got a rhythm.
That, no doubt about it, you know. Oh, my goodness. Well, welcome, everybody. This is the Locker Room. It's not Birthday Central, but it apparently we've turned it into that. This is the, what would we call it? The Locker Room Chorus team.
Locker Room Chorus line.
The choral group, yes. There you go.
Yeah.
Oh, Max. So, next question I got to ask you. Are you going to watch the Curse of Oak Island tonight?
You know what? I am going to, of course, finish my discovery of that. I'm going to continue to watch that. I mean, it is a staple in the house. I have work because I have SiriusXM tonight, too.
Oh, do you?
I have late hits, so I will have it on in the background.
Aha.
Curse of Oak Island. Yeah, exactly. I do it with no volume, and I do closed captions, so I can still stay up to that, and as well as keep everybody up to date on NFL news around the league as well. So, I will be watching The Curse of Oak Island. I mean, it's such a great – it's a drama now at this point.
It's gotten to that point, yes.
It is truly a drama. I mean, you know, you're getting closer, and – you keep finding all these little things, the water samples, the core drillings, and I'm just like,
exactly.
Come on, guys. Need to see give me a gold coin. You know what? That's all I need, Wolf, at this point.
Yes.
I'm tired of the flakes of gold in the water. I just need, if I see one coin, we're good for the next 10 years. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's all I need. Yeah.
I'm looking, they found some voids down there. Now, I mean, you got to figure something's there, because who in the 1800s, you're digging 1700s, you're digging 80 feet down and putting tunnels on some indescript island in the middle of the Atlantic? I mean, come on.
It's one of the worst palaces ever, if that's the case, you know?
Boy, you ain't kidding, man.
Yeah, talk about a hobbit hole. No. I mean, there has to be there's something important there. You don't just dig. Unless somebody was trying to literally see if they could dig to China, I don't know. But
I never there thought has of to, that one.
Exactly. Could you imagine that? He's like, hey, you could just dig a hole straight through the earth to China. No, you can't. No, you can't. There's like this thing called a core that has like liquid hot magma. That's where volcanoes come from. That's in the middle of the earth. Can't go there. So hopefully they figure that out. But there has to be something down there. There has to be. The Templars made way too many trips here. They knew it was a stash island. You know, pirates. There is definitely something of significance down there, and I hope we get to find it.
Me too. Because honestly, I know something's down there. Dadgummit, there's got to be something down there. All right. Turning our attention forward, because we're going to watch that tonight. By the way, we'll watch it. We'll talk on anybody that wants to talk on The Curse of Oak Island. We'll do that tomorrow.
Yes. We will be taking all calls related to Curse of Oak Island, Steelers Nation. We're also a fan club.
Yes, we are. There's no doubt about it. All right. Let me ask you something. Were you at all discombobulated over Cam Hayward talking about the fact that, if they want to be here, do they want me here? You know what I mean? Basically, did that discombobulate you at all, Max?
It did a little bit. I was like, wait a second, hold on. I was like, what is Cam saying? Like, why wouldn't they want? You just had 10.5 sacks. You're the leader of this team,
right? Played one of the greatest games against the Raiders.
Exactly. I mean, you're the heartbeat. Why would you think that they would not want you here anymore? But I get it. It's now turned to that business time of year, right, Wolf?
Mm-hmm.
Where you're looking at cap numbers, this, that, and the other. What needs to be done? Where's the youth movement? So I mean, he has every right to question it, but Cam's in a rare situation. Cam is like Ben, right? We'll see when you decide to give it up for the most part, or we think that you've declined significantly in your skill set, which I don't think he has. He needs to just go ahead and just, I think make sure that he is secure, moving forward. But you have to have that realization, because it's so raw right now. Is this also you speaking out and hoping that, hey, maybe they do make the decision as opposed to me make the decision, and then I don't have to come to terms with it? I mean, all those things kind of happen for all of us at different points, Wolf.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that was something very soon to have that conversation. Usually you hear that in March.
Right.
Or the end of February, right before free agency. Not 2 days after the season.
You know, I at first I thought, as Myron would say. You know what I mean? What's he doing? And then one of the things I realized, I was listening to Mike Tomlin at a press conference, and Mike was talking about that, and he said, that's more of exposing that humble side of Cam. Who Cam is, that he would never take it for granted that, they want me back. He does not take this life presented to him now as being for granted. And I thought, man, that is great leadership and humility and a great way to have your lead dog kind of show this is what it looks like to be a great pro, to have that sort of gratitude that, listen, I've had such a great opportunity to play and become the athlete and man that I am through his experience with the Steelers. And here, one of the things he shows is great humility. Well, they might not want me. I know what, I thought that was tremendous. And I really thought it spoke to the humility that he exudes, such as he is the kind of guy, as Mike pointed out, he'll put tape on his helmet in a training camp setting with his last name on it. Is sort of kind of that humble approach to I got to earn my way onto my the team each and every year. I think I just thought it was a great example of leadership and humility bound together.
Yes, I mean,
because seriously,
I love. Yeah, I
like you pointed out, 10.5 sacks. What the Raiders game showed me, showed everybody, he still is the man down in the trenches.
And Sunday's game showed you that he's still the man in the trenches.
Right. Yeah, right. I mean, absolutely.
1.5 sacks in that game too. Should have had 2.5.
Yes.
but once again, we're going to let that die, Wolf. I'm not going to peel the Band-Aid off of that wound just yet. Again, we definitely went through our feelings yesterday about it, but it's like, no, this dude, when he wants to be unblockable, like, it's not even fair. Like, why would you even start a rookie interior offensive lineman against the Steelers when he's there?
Like, yeah.
Absolutely utter destruction. I mean, you think of Cordell Volson, first game of the season? Remember that?
I remember. Think of Dylan Parham.
First snap, he destroyed that guy.
Yeah.
And then, like you said, Dylan Parham, also horrible day in the office. And even guys yesterday, I mean, you're talking about some really good interior offensive linemen for the Browns, and they didn't look so good.
No, Joel Bitonio, Wyatt Teller, those guys are seriously good ball players.
Yeah, and they got whipped. So, Cam is still one of the elite ones. I know he was an alternate for the Pro Bowl, but I'm sure, that's the problem with the Pro Bowl voting, right? Imagine it had been at the end of the season and he had 10.5 sacks as an interior lineman.
Yeah.
But a different story. But I think, you know, for Cam, the humility, the like you said, never taking it for granted, I think, because this is a privilege, not an expectation, you know, to play in the National Football League and to have played for as long as he has and to play at the level that he has. You know, he knows that this is a privilege. Like, if somebody decides they don't want my services, what can I do, right?
You know, right.
Yeah, you know, you're beholden, you know, to your team and to your boss, and so if they deem it that they don't want your services anymore, then, you know, it makes it a lot tougher. Trust me, you and I have both been there where we've wanted to, but they did not want to honor it. So, you know, it's one of those things where you don't take it for granted. It is a privilege, and there is an end at some point. And right. Cam is just making sure that he covers all his bases.
And I just I can't believe that humility to be able to say and express that I want to be here, you know, and hopefully they want me. I find that very that you got to have people in your life that speak to you the lessons of life. You know, John Cole, Mike Webster, those guys, Tony Chilkin was all big and huge in my life, and they spoke lessons into my life. And a guy that you see, you know, just like this, Cam, you know, he's speaking to other guys in the team. You know, this is how you conduct yourself. This is the way you go about business. I just find that very refreshing, I guess is the word I'm searching for when I consider the fact that, you know, this guy is so revered in the locker room and respected and outside the locker room and, well, respected and revered in the locker room too. And all I'm saying is, you know, I like the fact that he's setting a precedent and showing young guys again, this is the way you walk.
Role models.
Yes.
Role models. You know, big brother, not just to Meatball Express, but to all of those young guys in the locker room. And we will come up with a better nickname for Connor, I promise.
Oh, there's no doubt about it.
Before next year.
He is significant. And by the way, it's his older brother that first named him.
See, exactly. So, you know, we'll consort with Cam.
Yes.
And we will figure out another nickname. Because, I mean, because technically we don't have a nickname. I mean, Captain Cam is the only one we have.
Right,
really,
right.
For Cam Hayward.
Right.
Because, obviously, he's outgrown the moniker of Little Ironhead.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, I mean, we do need some new nicknames, you know. And I think – you know what, Wolf?
Hmm.
I think that is what we'll do for training camp next year.
Ooh, come up, nicknames.
Yeah, we're going to have a nickname segment.
Yep.
And we're just going to pitch out a bunch of different nicknames and see which ones stick. And then we'll let Steelers Nation decide how we will proceed. I think that's a good one. I like that. We have to pin that one. And, of course, get the blessing of Sensei Lamb in the process. Because, obviously, he was like, no, guys, we're not going to spend an entire show talking about nicknames. But I feel like we could.
Well, you thought
I feel
we weren't.
Like we could.
Well. But here's the key, fellas. If they want us back.
No, hey.
There you go.
You know what? You are absolutely correct, Wolf. Yes. If we are blessed enough to come back and be
right.
Back in the locker room and on the sidelines and up in the booth, then yes, we will come up with that. You're absolutely right. Do not put things out there in the universe because – We do have to renew our contracts too.
Yeah, when's exit meetings, by the way?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I know.
I think Max
Where's my sign
exited.
Up sheet? Yeah. What are you talking about? My foot is not in the parking lot because the reason why is because I have auto start, so I don't have to put my feet out to actually hit the remote now.
You know, I really wonder how much did you play in the time period when they had air helmets, Max? Just wondering.
Yeah, you know what are you talking about?
Oh,
what are you talking
nothing,
about?
Nothing. Just, you know, a little comment.
I mean, you know, what was it really air helmets? I mean, I'm already full of hot air as it is. I mean, do I really need a helmet on top of that?
There you go, baby.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, no, this is too funny. Well, all right, we're gonna step aside. I appreciate the well wishes. It is a great January 10th day here in the locker room. We will be back after these messages. He's Wolf, I'm Starks, and the Euler Bomb is over there in the engineering room. We'll be back in a moment.
This is In the Locker Room with Wolf and Starks on ESPN Pittsburgh and Steelers Nation Radio, presented by your neighborhood Ford store. The F-150 is the official truck of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
It all comes down to this. If I score, I win. And when I'm playing for Big Mac and a premium crispy chicken classic extra value meal, I'm playing for keeps.
Charlie.
Yeah?
I never said anything about using a kicker.
Never said I couldn't. Hut.
You just can't lose when you choose the great old school taste of a Big Mac or a premium crispy chicken extra value meal at McDonald's.
No hard feelings.
Thanks, Charlie.
The fact of the matter is we're kind of like trolling through trying to find some Max Stark stuff by which we can torture poor Max with.
Oh,
so, Maximus, did
you
hear
that?
Maximilian.
Don't you do that.
You know, Wolf, one more time here, because I know you had some audio issues there. That my fault. We're trying to do a lot here on the fly, but let's just play one more time.
It all comes down to this. If I score, I win. When I'm playing for Big Mac and a premium crispy chicken classic extra value meal, I'm playing for keeps.
Charlie.
Yeah?
Never said anything about using a kicker.
Never said I couldn't. Hut.
You just can't lose when you choose the great old school taste of a Big Mac or a premium crispy chicken extra value meal at McDonald's.
No hard feelings.
Thanks, Charlie.
I'm so mad at you guys for digging up that old McDonald's commercial.
May or may not be on my Twitter account as well, too. At Wesley Euler on Twitter.com.
If you send that to me, I think I can make sure that finds its way to the good lady Faith.
You got it.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh, you guys.
Well, we had all kinds of kibosh going on there because I couldn't hear any of it. Because there was something going on with this or that, the gremlins. But Wes got it straightened out. But the funny part was watching that and seeing a very young Charlie Batch and a very young Max Starks with the big hairdo. You had the troll hairdo.
Man. Hey, listen, big hair don't care. You know, that's what it was back in the day. I had luscious locks.
You did.
Back in the day.
And you had it pulled up top. But the thing that was pretty cool was, I like the pipes, brother. Sun's out, guns out. I mean, you got the jersey on. You know, you're sitting there. Charlie looked, you know, Charlie was he looked very appropriate and nice. But he's a quarterback.
He's a quarterback. Clean cut, you know.
You're looking bigger than, man. You look great there.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that was hilarious. And then, of course, Jay Reed standing on the table. That was hilarious when we were filming that. Because Jeff is, like, on the table in a kicking stance. I'm like, listen, I don't even want you to practice a swing through.
Then the football, the paper football, was tacked to your forehead. It was hilarious.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. That was hilarious. I mean, we had a lot of fun that day. That was back when, you know, when linemen get a little love in commercials, you know, I mean, cause I did that. I did the McDonald's commercial. We did the Sunday Stud for GMC where we took over a news station, the offensive line. And then we did the Campbell's Chunky Soup, commercial.
Oh, I remember
that one.
That was
with
big.
My mom. Yeah.
Wasn't that Super Bowl year? Was that a Super Bowl year?
That was right after Super Bowl. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Because and my mom was the Campbell's Chunky Soup mom for that.
That was your mom. Wow.
Yeah.
That was
my mom.
Cool.
Yeah.
So did she like hold it over you? Say, you know, she's a movie star now, you know, big TV star.
No, she thanked me because you know it was an unfortunate situation that led to her having the opportunity, But you know, we made it work. We made it work. We had the show must go on.
What happened?
So, because Ben was supposed to be featured because you know they were picking quarterback moms back then because it was Donovan McNabb and his mom for so long.
Okay.
Well, Ben had the motorcycle accident at that point.
That's right. Oh, I forgot all about that. Okay.
Yeah. So, and my mom just happened to be in town, and they were like, "Well, whose mom is here?" I was like, "Mine is." I raised my hand immediately.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Even though my mom was in Florida. I was like, she's here. She's here. She can do it. And I called my mom, and I was like, Mom, get on the flight right now.
Come right now.
And then my mom got to be Campbell's Chunky Soup Mom. So for that.
That'd be pretty cool.
It was awesome. It was like a lifelong thing. My mom always wanted to do something in like a commercial or TV. And so she got in. Yeah. That was awesome.
Well, you know, it's like there's always that sort of like little danger with mom, you know, and you've got you know, cameras and recording equipment, and you know, you're afraid of like, well, like Hoopy. We get Hoopy going, man. You never know what she's gonna do. She's like she's a wild cannon, man. You just don't know what Hoopy's gonna pull off there when you put her on the air.
But that's the best part about it, right, Wolf? That's the best part about it. You never know, and it might be gold. I'm saying that now because I've already gone through it. So, yes, I was stressed the hell out that my mom – I was like, Mom, please don't start reprimanding, like, the camera crew or the producer or the director or anybody on the set. Do not be my mom at this moment. Be the elevated version of my mom who's not going to put anybody on timeout.
Well, guess what I just got? I got a text from the good lady Faith, and that's been retweeted, Wes. Yeah, you said it. Oh, yeah, so Max, you're already going out.
Oh, great. And we thought all these years ago, almost 20 years ago, that would have, you know, that would have gone away and faded away. Not anymore.
So
thank
fast.
You, Wes,
God
for
bless
reliving
YouTube.
That. Yep, all right.
Absolutely.
I would like to know that if anybody has a Big Mac today, you're welcome for that commercial.
Oh, that's so good. Wes, nice work by you, buddy. That's excellent investigative work.
Hey, last week of the show, Max's birthday, we're having some fun.
Yeah, absolutely. You got to enjoy it. And by the way, we do want to open up the phone lines, 412-919-1316. The question of the day, are you optimistic or pessimistic? You know, do you put more weight on what happened last, you know, this past year in the first half of the season or after the bye? You know, kind of so, you know, I'm always an optimist, Max. I can't help it. That's just kind of my nature. You know, it is.
Nothing wrong with that.
No, you know, too many years in the football trenches have taught me that if you're down in the dumps, you're going to stay down in the dumps there. You got to be your own best sort of cheerleader.
No, you absolutely have to be. You have to, you know, if you don't do it, who will?
Right.
Right, Wolf?
Right.
You know, if you – and I think that's kind of how you have to look at it and – optimism is the best way. I mean, my wife always gets it. She's like, why are you so optimistic about it? I'm like, hey, listen, you know, because I'm always like, God's will. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right. Like
if God deems it so, I mean, granted, I will do my part or I'll admit when I don't do my part. But it's like, other than that, it's God's will. Like, I can only affect myself. I can't affect other people and what they decide to do, you know?
Guess what? It's getting worse, Max. I just got a tweet from a good lady, Faith. She just sent it to my brother, your brother, Ronnie.
Oh, Lord.
So that'll be all over AZ when you know.
Great. I'm gonna hear about it tomorrow.
But I got to tell you, it's impressive, though. That's a great shot of you. You know, it's not like – the good thing is it's not one of those that, oh, you know, you're not looking so very good. You are looking primo, buddy.
Exactly. Yeah, it's not me on the exhale, like bent over after like running like my seventh gasser.
Yeah. Oh,
those
could
be some of the worst the worst looks. You ever got like how'd the cameraman catch me in like this moment? You know,
did he really need to do that?
Yeah, exactly. You know, you didn't have to hit the click button on that. You knew I was exhaling. It's high speed. Come on. You took 17 shots. You found the one where my stomach was the most extended. I'm like, come on.
Max, we might be giving you some grief, but I mean, make no mistake about it. That's like to be in a McDonald's commercial. That's like bucket list stuff right there. I tell you what. I'd steal candy from a 2-year-old to be in a McDonald's commercial.
Yeah.
Okay, Wesley. That might have been a little TFI, you know? TMI, I don't know.
TMI.
A little too much information.
I was trying to think of something that was like frowned upon but not too egregious, and I landed on stealing Reese's from a toddler. That's what I got.
Hey, listen. Here's my thing. All parents know you've all done it before. Don't act like you haven't. Dug through your kids' Halloween candy to find something that you wanted. Yeah, exactly. I'm like, every parent's done it. I mean, if you haven't, you're either a dentist or you just hate candy. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the only two reasons I could see why you would have
never
done this.
And who hates candy? I mean, you know, even if you're not a big fan of it, you still don't hate it. I mean, you know, a little Reese's, you know, peanut butter cups. Oh, come on. That's great stuff.
Oh, and see, for me, so I'm a sour guy, guys.
Oh, you're sour.
I like Sour
Patch
Kids?
I
like sour candies. Oh, love Sour Patch Kids.
Oh,
sour
Patch. Okay.
Sour Punch Straws, you know.
Wow.
I'm that guy. So now they do, for Halloween, they did the individual, like, large-size Sour Patch Kids.
Right.
So they give, like, one big one, and then they individually wrap it. So, yes, have I been caught, you know, in early November, pre-Thanksgiving, sneaking into my into the pantry and going through my kids' stuff to find a blue raspberry Sour Patch Kid? Yes, I have. I'm going to admit that right now. Statute of limitations there in school. They can't hear this. It's in Pittsburgh. I'm okay.
I used to tell my kids, hey, it's a daddy tax. All right? You got to come and present your bag to dad. Dad's going to go through them to make sure it's all safe.
Listen, it's about time you start contributing to this household.
Yes. Hey, you can't pay rent, but you can pay candy.
That's right.
Yes. There's no doubt about
that. Well, that and Easter, too.
Ooh,
that's
Easter. Yeah, my 15-month-old, you know, she's not big enough, guys, to push the lawnmower yet. I can't have her cut in the grass quite yet, but she can let me steal a couple take fives out of the Halloween bag.
What's your favorite candy, though? I mean, seriously, you got peanut butter and chocolate are just perfect for each other. They're great. All right, I do like Kit Kat bars too, because you could get those. You know, you go into the movie theater, you get a couple of those, and I don't know, it just works in a movie theater for whatever purpose.
Yeah, you know, it does. And that's why, you know, for me, I am always – theater box-sized candy is always great.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
It's never a bad – that and of course, a tub of popcorn.
Oh, yeah.
With nice hot butter flavoring on top of it.
Oh, yes, and extra butter. You got to get
so you know what my wife does? She does she does it with the Milk Duds. She gets Milk Duds.
Uh-huh.
And she used to popcorn and then pops a Milk Dud in there.
Ooh.
And then it kind of melts and it's like chocolate caramel popcorn.
Ooh.
And it's a little combination thing that she
does. Something she learned in doctoring school there, you know?
I don't know. Well, she worked in a movie theater growing up.
Oh, okay.
So that was like one of her first jobs. She worked at a movie theater. So I think that's where she probably developed that. When you spend that much time there and you got all that popcorn, you start creating experiments. And so that was one that she stuck.
Well, I would definitely. You know,
yeah,
so
it was a good one.
I like you know, you got the chocolate, you got the peanut butter, but I also like Oreos too. I mean, double stuffed. Because here's the thing about the Oreos. They rip you off when the single ones, and then they went to double stuff, which was tremendous. Then they reduced the double stuff. You know, I mean, I wish they would get consistent. Come on. This is getting ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know? What are you going to go, triple stuff? Come on.
I mean, why not? Why not, Wolf?
Well.
That's what I ask. You know, why not? Or go double-decker stuff.
Oh,
right?
All right. Yes. There you go.
Yeah. Double-decker stuff would be a good one. So you have three cookie layers and two of the cream layers.
Ooh.
In one cookie sandwich. How good would that be?
Good. That really sounds good. Man,
you know, I mean that because, you know, let's face it, like my daughter's kind of like the golden Oreos, which I'm like, as a purist, I'm like,
right.
And then the red velvet one, they're like, daddy, it's red velvet.
Yeah.
I'm like, but Oreo's an Oreo,
yep.
You know, I just want the cream and then a little chocolate cookie. You know, I'm good with that. You don't have to get fancy with me, Oreo. I get you got to sell stuff. And I don't like the soft ones. Do you see those soft ones? They're kind of like puffy on the outside now?
No, that doesn't work. It doesn't work.
It's not. I mean, because that looks like an unglazed whoopie pie. You know what I'm saying? It's not the same.
Glazed whoopie pie. I couldn't call it any better than that. All right.
Yeah, let's get to a break. We're talking about food.
The phone lines are open. At the top of the hour, though, we do have our Alvaro Martin coming in, and he's going to come in and give us a lesson in all things Española. And then we'll just keep taking calls all day. All right?
Yes, absolutely. If that's a word. I don't even know what's happening right now.
And what's your favorite candy? That's what we want to know.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Favorite candy and everything else. 412-919-1316. In the locker room, Wolf Starks and the Euler Bomb. That's what I'm going to say for the rest of the day. That's Wes's new nickname. We're doing nicknames here. I just figured he's going to be that from now on. On SNR and ESPN Radio. We'll be back.
This is In the Locker Room with Wolf and Starks on ESPN Pittsburgh and Steelers Nation Radio, presented by your neighborhood Ford store. The F-150 is the official truck of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Well, I'm down here on the field with big old Max Starks, and first of all, it is a big old welcome to have you back in the house and back in the lineup, Max.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah, it feels really good to be back, and glad I could come back and, give a W to the city of Pittsburgh.
It's amazing that on 3 days practice, just two in pads, that you pulled off a performance like this. Talk about it a little bit.
One of the great things about coming back to a team that I played for 7 years makes it easy when you know what the offense is and you have a mastery of it. You too, Rob. And, the biggest thing, I knew what I was doing. There was very little changes, and we just had a good time, getting ready. We got over all the nervousness, and we just wanted to make sure that we came out here, communicated cleanly, and we got it done today.
Did it feel kind of like riding a bike again? You just got back out there, and after the first pass rush, first kind of a headbutt, it was no problem?
Yeah, one of the biggest things was, fortunately, I guess, coming the week of double-padded practice week, so I got a lot of the anxiety out of the way by going back-to-back padded days, so kind of made the body get used to the hitting. So when it came out to game time, it actually felt a little bit slower than I was anticipating. So it was a good feeling.
Last question here. You got a little post-game meal here. What are you going to load up on? If you say Brussels sprouts, I'm going to smack you.
Not Brussels sprouts, but you know, one thing I learned in my time off is that if it can run, fly, or swim, it's good for me. So as long as I stay away from cow, buffalo, and all the other hoofed animals, and just stick to fish, chicken, and some turkey, I'll be good.
Thank you, Max. Good luck to you, brother.
Thanks, Wolf, as always.
Of course you two were talking about food. Of course.
Of course. See, it's not an accident. It's not an accident that Wolf and I would have a show together and food would be a topic all the time.
Faith, family, football, and food. There you go.
Yes, absolutely. Oh, man.
That is absolutely hilarious. I forgot about that. That you came back just on a couple of days' notice, and bam-o, right back into the lineup.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, it was funny. So that was after I herniated a disc in my neck and had to have surgery
right,
on my neck.
Right.
And so I was released after the it was the post CBA stuff, and I got released, and so I was just out in Arizona training. And then I got the call after week four that, hey, Max, we want to bring you back. I was actually, funny enough, I was in Detroit.
Right.
Funny enough, of all places, I was in Detroit on a workout. And midway through the workout, I guess Kevin Colbert called the GM over there in Detroit. He might know the phone number there since that's where he came to Pittsburgh.
Probably had a clue.
Yeah, is it? Hey, we want to re-sign Max. Send him out. So they literally came in. We're like, all right, workout's over. Max, shower up. There'll be a car outside for you. The Steelers want to resign you. What? I was like, what? That happens? What? Don't you guys get like first right of refusal or something? I'm like, because I'm technically here right now. Nope. Kevin said he wanted to resign you, so you're going. It's like, wow. Okay. So I just remember getting in a car up at the Lions practice facility. And going straight to the airport and then flying into Pittsburgh, got in like 10 something at night.
Right.
And then a car service picked me up, even though I still live there. My car is still there at my house. My wife is still there in Pittsburgh. so the car goes, we go straight to the Southside facility. I go upstairs and coaches are in meeting, so I go into the little offensive meeting room, and Coach Tomlin's sitting in there, Cougs is in there, and I want to say, and BA like walked in, you know, after I walked in there, and they looked at me and said, "All right, you look good. All right, well, go sign the paperwork. We'll see. We'll see you tomorrow morning for team meeting." I was like,
That's it.
There's no workout. There's no conversation. Nothing. Like, nope, you're good. Just go. Go get it. We'll see you in the morning. And then I get there in the morning, and go through meetings. You know, everybody's, you know, gives me well wishes. Hey,
right,
good to have you back. Blah blah blah. Walk into the offensive line meeting room. Cougs is writing out the list for the week. He's like, "All right, and starting lineup. All right, Willie, you're at right tackle. I forgot who it was at right guard that week. Mm-hmm. I want to say I think Trey might have been starting that week at right guard. And then it was like, all right, and then Hartwig at center, and you know, Chris, you're at left guard, and yeah, Max, you're at left tackle. Nothing's changed. All right, so
there we go.
Any questions? I raised my hand. He's like, "Put your hand down, Max." All right, let's go to meeting. And then I'm like, what do you mean? I hadn't played a game at that point in 11 months.
Wow. Well, that's something.
I got injured in the Cincinnati game right after Halloween, and that's when I hurt my neck. And then that's the year we went all the way through to Super Bowl 45. And then I was released, and then I come back, and it was Jacksonville week, and they're like, "All right, and we got double pads this week." You know, Coach Tom was like, "Hey, to welcome Max back, we were going to have double padded practices." I was like, So
you're persona non grata there.
Exactly. Everybody, they're like, "Oh, so Max comes back." Yeah, exactly. Well, I was like, "Hey, at least we get it out the way, right, guys? I mean, we'd rather have that than week 9 getting double padded practices." But and then I went through practice and then played in the game, and Cougs was like, "Okay, Max, we got to get you on one series. Obviously, you haven't played in 11 months. You know, we're going to get you a series off in the first half." All right, cool. You know, I'm just going with the flow. I'm like, "Listen, I'm just trying to get my wind up. I'm trying to make sure that I'm ready for this. I didn't go through training camp, and they're 5 weeks into the season. Everybody's in mid-season form, and I'm just fresh off the couch." And I just remember the first half, I'm like, "Okay, is it good?" He's like, "We'll get to it. We'll get to it." And then so the first half goes, no break. Play every snap, and then we get to the second half. It's like, "All right, I got to do it this half. The trainers have got on me. We don't want you to hurt anything, you know, or pull anything, so we're going to get you out." So it's like literally like the second drive of the second half, and we're like on our own like 25. So we're about to go like 4 and out. And we run a fake punt. Ryan Mundy runs the fake punt, gets it down. He runs it for about 50 yards. We're inside the red zone. I'm running out on the field and said, no, "Max, you're out this time." I'm like, "What?" I'm like, we're literally about to score like 2 plays. I'm like, we're inside like the 10-yard line, and this is the series you get to take off? You couldn't take me off when we're backed up in our own end zone in the 5? Like, you choose, this is my series, and what do? We score in the next 2 plays. He's like, "All right, your series is off. You're back in, Max." Like, "Well, thanks."
Well, wait a minute. Like, come on.
Exactly. I'm like, well, thanks, guys. Appreciate that. Like, if that's the case, I'm like, what the hell? 2 plays, really?
Could
give me like a 10-play drive off if you're going to give me a break?
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Who was that against, by the way?
The Jaguars.
Jaguars, okay.
We played the Jags up in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
I ended up getting – the only time I ever got a game ball from Coach Tomlin
was that game.
I got my first game ball.
You know, it's interesting because there was something going on in my life at that time, remember, and it takes me right back to that. We don't have time to talk about it now, though, because we got Alvaro Martin coming up.
Alvaro Martin!
Yes! And what hour is it?
Oh, the Power Hour, yes. Thank you. Coming up next on SNR and ESPN Radio. You're in the locker room.
Turns out a delightfully clean home can make for a delightful start to the day. At Mrs. Meyers, everything they make is inspired by the garden. With plant-derived and other thoughtfully chosen ingredients, their cleaning products smell like a dream and work like the Dickens, leaving your home sparkly clean and your to-do list tackled in no time. Goodness, there's no better feeling than that. Mrs. Meyers, rooted in goodness. Visit MrsMeyers.com today.
Tired of restless nights? At Leesa, we know good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. From memory foam mattresses to hybrids that keep you cool all night long, Leesa's mattresses offer exceptional comfort and support with free delivery and 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to leesa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. Exclusions apply. See leesa.com for more details.